Ladies and gentlemen, in the blue corner, standing at a sleek 5'11", 245 pounds, the tumultuous tempest of technique, Thomas Lilly. And in the red corner, at a curvaceous 5'11", 315 pounds, the jovial juggernaut of judgment, John Cheryl Sheridan. A meeting of the masters of mastication. Turn your attention as they delve deep into all things lifting and more. This is Peak Speak.
Which means we are live.
We are indeed. And I'm just rapidly trying to share this because, you know, because that's what you're supposed to do, isn't it? When you're a social media influencer. I don't know. You're more famous than I am.
I'm not famous. I just have.
I didn't say you were famous. I said you were more famous than I am.
I just have heaps and heaps and heaps of Papua New Guinean friend. In fact, Gorohu just joined. What's up, man? Hope all is well there in Hanubada. Sick little village.
Excellent.
Gorohu's always posting photos of him with like these epic catches of fish that they go out and yeah, it's really cool.
I had to euthanize a goldfish at my house the other day. We had a sick fish, and I've invested enough money in sick dogs that I'm not investing money in a sick fish.
How does a fish get sick?
It had, I think it's called dropsy, something like that. I don't know. It gets all swelly and gross. Yeah.
Was it your fish?
Yeah, we've got a couple of like little ponds out the back that we have fish in, so they eat the mosquito eggs.
How did you euthanize it?
I chopped its head off.
Did you actually?
Yeah. Seemed like the simplest, most effective method.
Like a sort of chopping block executioner style?
Yeah, I set up a small guillotine, had a ceremony. You know, I lit some candles. You know,
with the dogs barking in the background, like, off with his head.
Yeah, basically. It's pretty much how it is. It's, yep, game of John.
Yeah. How are you feeling after your incident?
Yeah, so this is a story that is the sort of story that needs to be recorded for prosperity's sake. I wish I got it on video. I went and rode my mountain bike this morning with a friend at Stromlo, which is like one of the mountain biking places in Canberra. So we did like 80 something minutes of single track uphill downhill stuff that was heaps of fun. Recently, I have had a couple of random wipeouts riding bikes because it turns out I'm pretty shit at riding bikes, which is not a huge surprise to me. And yeah, so we rode like 70, 80 minutes of single track stuff, got back to the car park. As I was rolling towards my car, I was like, oh, I'll just go up this little grass section and I'll go up onto the pump track and I'll ride the pump track and then I'll go to the car. And I rolled up towards this little grassy incline, and at the very last moment I realized that grassy incline was indeed fenced off, and so like three strand wire fence caught my front tire and I ate shit over the handlebars and hit the deck in what can only be described as an ungraceful brick-like descent. And yeah, I stood up a little bit bruised in the ego, but otherwise largely amused by it. Just, yeah.
Well done.
I've managed not to hurt myself sufficiently like riding downhill or anything like that yet, but I'm also not doing anything particularly dangerous. But so far, every time I've stacked, it's because I've done something dumb. And today, that dumb thing was, in fact, just riding into a fence.
It's just that, like, that kind of moment when you know you've fucked up.
And yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can't do anything.
Everything slows
about it.
Down a little bit. Yep. I like every time I've crashed so far, I remember everything that happened in the moments up to it. And I remember everything slowing down long enough for me to be like, well, I've fucked up. And now I have to deal with the consequences.
Yeah.
Shit. So, yeah, it's a learning experience. It's fun to be a beginner at things again.
Yeah.
I'm very much enjoying that.
Man.
But, yeah, I'm also just not very good at riding bikes, as it turns out.
When I was competing in freestyle BMX, There's
I didn't realize you competed. That's cool.
Yeah, of course. I was. Yeah, yeah. It's fucking awesome. I love the sport. There's many ways you can crash. There's many ways you can bail, but the worst way is ones that you have completely no control over and completely you didn't do anything wrong. And by far the worst is snapping chains. And I don't know how often that happens in other kind of bike sports, but BMX kind of evolved over the year to have a smaller sprocket so it wouldn't get in the road when you did grinds. Because previously you'd grind and the chain would just cop a bit of abuse. And before you know it, it weakens. And then you just take a big crank and the chain just snaps. And it's one of the crashes where you kind of don't know. It takes you ages to register what happened. You're like, you're fine, and then you're on the ground, and you're like, why am I so sore, and how did I end up here? And then you get up on your bike, and you realize that you've got no chain. It's the worst.
Man, a similar thing actually happened to me a little while ago, very early in my riding bike expedition lately. Yeah, it was like, I'm riding this bike that's my brother's old bike that he doesn't ride anymore, that's like a little bit too big, and is sort of 10 years old, and just a bit beaten up. But it's a bike that I didn't have to pay for, so it's great. And I got about 400 meters into the single track that goes up Mount Stromlo to get to all the fun stuff. And I was just riding along, went to pedal and felt the gears kind of slip a little bit. And then just like my foot hit the ground. And it turned out I'd sheared the bolt that holds the cranks in. And so I then had to wheel the bike back to the car, carrying the like front chain ring and the pedal and the crank arm. Which I'm glad I didn't do 700-800 meters into the ascent or like at the top or at any real speed. But I can certainly see how that would be a miserable experience.
For sure. Ironically, Daniel Raisin tuned in and is watching. Daniel Raisin was like a riding buddy of mine years ago. This would be like 10 or 12 years ago. I thought he was God's gift to BMX because he landed a whopper before me. A whopper is like a bunny hob tail whip. So if you can hear me, Daniel, what's up, man? Raisin, the man. And Lisa throws us a couple of like muscle arm emojis. What's up, Lisa? Hope you're doing well.
Is this in the... Are you watching the chat?
Yeah, because no one's in the webinar because we haven't posted the link anywhere.
I posted it on Instagram.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Like in my comments thing.
I see. Wonderful.
What's that thing? Profile link. That's the one I'm looking for. Anyway.
Anyway. Goal setting.
How's things with... Well, I was going to ask how things with you are, but you know, if we don't, you don't want to talk about that, that's fine.
You've got things are all right. It's this weird time where you ask people, hey man, what's been going on? I haven't seen you for a week, or how's your week been, or what have you been up to? And it's like, man, the same thing as you, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I haven't told many people this, but I'm admitting it live now. I'm addicted to magic. I cannot stop watching magic. And I'm there's these things on, you get them if you watch a lot of YouTube, these ads for what's called masterclass, where like celebrities teach you how to do things. And Penn and
I get them for barbecue.
Yeah, Penn and Teller have one for magic, and I am so close to signing up for that. That and Neil deGrasse Tyson does one on like scientific thinking that actually sounds really interesting. I'm curious to see what the quality of those things is like, but I am so convinced that within the next 6 months, I'm going to throw everything away to pursue a career in magic. Like, I'm in love with it.
I think you just need, what you need is a hybrid magic coaching service where you can, because then what you're actually doing is being very efficient in your use of time, because you can do a set of squats and then in your 6 minute rest break, you can do a quick card trick and then you can do another set of squats. Like, double your money, man. You could double your rate for sure.
It's not just the wonderment of this, like, whoa, how did he do that? Or how did she do that kind of thing? It's more so like the creativity and the thought process that, because when you watch enough of it, and I've watched enough for everyone in the last 3 weeks, when you watch enough of it, you realize everyone's doing pretty much the same trick, but they're just being creative with the way that they present it. Like, it's the same principal illusion that's underneath it. And I really love like the creativity and also the showmanship that comes with it. Like, I am convinced that one day I'm going to end up on a stage in some sort of theater performance, some way, shape or form. Like, music, dancing, singing is my jam. I love that stuff. But now that I've found magic, I'm thinking that it's going to go in some sort of like hybrid magic theater performance.
I have not often enjoyed magic because I find it really frustrating because I spend the whole time watching the trick, looking for the trick. Because like the way my brain works, I just want to know how it works. I want to know like how I'm being tricked. I can't just sit there and be like, oh, that was a nice trick. I'm like, oh, where did you put that card? Or like, where's the sleight of hand that I missed? So I'm always like a little too tense and focusing on it, not actually just having a nice time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why I don't like device kind of magic. Like I really like the sleight of hand stuff because it is such an endeavor of skill. Rather yeah, than yeah. just like, hey, you've got this tool that helps you. Like, of course, there's a great deal of skill. And we can talk this whole time about magic if you'd like to. Like, I'm far more interested in that than goal setting. So, oh, dear.
How fantastic. Oh, man. Our podcast is going to quickly divulge into a lot of weird shit if we spend too long in isolation.
Man, I mean, it's the sign of the times, right?
Yeah, it really is.
It's so interesting to see like the different factions and people's like inner thoughts coming out more and more and more as they're bored and at home. Like you've got the people that, you know, are all of a sudden anti-government and think we're living in totalitarian society. And then you've got the people that are like, you know, do something with your time. You have to make the most of this. And then there's all the antis to all of those movements as well. It's like, don't listen to the people that say you have to do something. Be happy with who you are, you know? It's so interesting that for every like positive thing, there's like an anti-positive thing, but then there's an anti to the anti-positive. It's such a weird, weird situation.
I think my like Facebook and Instagram feed is about 50-50. You should be hustling the fuck out of everything right now. And hey, like it's okay to eat cheeseburgers in your pajamas.
Yeah.
And it's interesting seeing who is on which side of that fence. And most times my guess is right anyway. Like I can probably guess on the person and generally it's right.
What you guess with me? I'll give you a hint. It's all to do with magic.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely not hustle. Because I know how your brain works when there's nothing to do. You're just like, oh my God, what am I going to get into? Magic, as it turns out. Magic is the answer to that. So, yeah, look, no. if you start doing our intros with sleight of hand magic tricks, especially now that we're live, I feel like that's going to go over a lot better than anything else we've ever done as an intro.
Yeah, it could definitely be work wonders for our viewership.
Yeah. Do you actually do any magic or do you just watch a lot of magic?
Look, I've dabbled.
That's great.
Some cretin has just commented, Will Berkman, WW forever. I'm assuming that he's missed the E and he was trying to say WWE forever. So, look, I'm about the WWE. I did prefer it when it was WWF, but you know, then those animal people came along and ruined everything for everyone. So
he just can't help himself.
No, he can't. No, he can't.
Kim but says, now we're not gonna mention him by name.
Kim knows what it's about. Involved. Hashtag magic is the answer. Absolutely. Anyway, speaking of having not a great deal to do during isolation, let's talk about goal setting. Let's talk about planning. Because one of the big implications of all of this isolation stuff, all of this shutdown stuff, is that planning is pretty much out the window. And I have quite a bit of people in my coaching repertoire who are chronic planners. You have to plan like every breath of the day kind of thing. And without having a tangible goal to work towards in terms of like competition or without knowing when the next competition is or when access to gym is going to happen, it really, really can frazzle those people's brains. So I think it's a timely to talk about goal setting and planning. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I've certainly had almost exactly the same conversation with several people as well who, yeah, have gone from a position of fairly certain about their like their goals and what they're doing this year, and you know, it's still early in the year, so a lot of this is discussions we had 6 months ago that are like, hey, we did this, cool, come back after this, and now it's pushing towards whatever these goals are, and it all gets thrown for a loop a little bit. Fortunately, some of the people that I coach who are like that have access to almost all a gym, like almost a gym's worth of equipment in terms of they have a bar and plates and things like that. So the limitations are still there for sure, and the environment is different, but it's the uncertainty of not knowing, like, when am I competing again, or what am I working towards? Because none of us really have an end date for any of this. I think that's the thing that makes it hardest to deal with for a lot of those people.
Mm. Do you have, like, say a new client comes to you, do you have much of a process or much of a system that happens around goal setting or planning?
Not a formal process. I have a lot of discussions with people about it. And I, especially with relatively new and inexperienced people, I try not to work too heavily towards sort of mid to long-term goals. I'm much more about getting them involved in the process early on, because I think that's the getting engaged in that early, at least in most of my experience, has been more beneficial than saying, here's the thing we're working towards as a defined thing, because, you know, potentially 6 weeks after you start, that number that you were working towards is no longer like a stretch goal. It's something you're going to do next week.
Mm.
So I think for some people, especially very early, being a little bit more flexible about it and having more short-term, like process goals rather than outcome goals, I think, is the way I sort of lean towards it. But I don't really have a formal process. For a more competitive athlete, I'll definitely have a more in-depth discussion about where were you, what do you want to do over the next couple of years in terms of competitions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But for a very early beginner or novice, it's way more about the process, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where this conversation is going to come back to every time when we're talking about any sort of goal setting. It doesn't matter if you are a really goal-driven and goal-oriented person. Unless that process is in place, there's going to be no avenue to reach that goal. And a lot of the wins that happen in the process can become overshadowed by this goal that you've set for yourself if you're not careful. Like, it's yep. really easy to set a goal of squatting 200 kilos by the end of the year and go from a 140 to a 180 and be really upset that you didn't hit 200 and ignore the fact that you've added 40 kilos to your squat. So that idea of having like a really process driven and maybe setting mini goals and slightly less tangible goals is going to be really important, because in powerlifting and strength training, so often our goals are hinging on numbers or are completely related to numbers. There's a lot of intangible goals that are going to, you know, set up the process for longer term improvement, such as, you know, improving your stability or your technique, improving rep goals, things like that. So too often we're focused on what our end goal is, which is a bigger total, that we can miss out on, you know, the process that is ultimately going to get us there.
Yeah, and I think that's the key difference between a proper process orientated mindset and someone who is just outcome orientated. When all you do is look at that number, there's definitely the emotional side of like, did I get it? Did I not? Success and failure, and then the identity crisis that comes with that. But I also think that you get to a point, or a lot of people get to a point, where they're trying to do everything they can to get to that goal. Mm-hmm. It becomes about getting there and not the process that you need to have, because like you said in that example, you could go from 140 to 180 and be disappointed that you didn't hit 200, but also your 180 could just be the biggest squat you'll ever do because you squat like garbage and you don't get any stronger after that. I think that especially relatively early, and by relatively early I mean in the first handful of years that you're training, not like a handful of weeks or months. I think years is a much better way to look at it. So much of what you do or what you can do when you're not caught up in chasing a number is set up the foundation that means the 10 years after that become the most fruitful and profitable training that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sport like powerlifting, where there's a lot of people at the top or who appear to be at the top of their game all the time, the fighting the urge to feel like you need to keep up can be really hard. I mean, I find myself doing it in business, in all kinds of things. I follow a lot of people like you and other people in Australia who are very successful And there's always a slightly competitive part of me that's like, oh, I'm a bit annoyed that I'm not there. Yeah, but like I'm not there and that's okay. And realizing that, not comparing myself to either other people or some arbitrary number, because in the end, the number doesn't fucking matter. I think that allows you to open up your eyes to a lot more of the foundational stuff that will allow you to hit pretty much anything you want. And if you put your mind to it, you'll be able to do it. But without that foundation relatively early on in your training experience, it's going to be much harder.
Mm. Yeah, I think if you are a really goal-driven person, I'm going to come back to why I keep saying if you are a goal-driven person. Mm. If you are a goal-driven person, I think a big thing that a lot of people miss out on is that they set goals that might be tangible, that might be realistic, but they never go any deeper than just like, I want to squat this much weight. It's like, okay, but what does that mean to you? Why do you want to squat that much weight? Because if you don't challenge those ideas, you can become so emotionally attached to this goal for no reason. And if you are really challenged on those ideas, you might find that it doesn't actually mean that much. And it can be so dangerous to create a self-identity and a settle your self-worth around this incredibly arbitrary number for the sake of what? So we have to be careful with that. So the reason I keep saying, like, if you're a goal-oriented person is because I believe that some people just don't respond well to the idea of having goals and plans set out. I think a lot, and I can say that very personally because I'm a completely process-oriented person.
Yeah.
Like, I don't set plans. I don't make plans. I'll have vague plans. I have like these shadow plans or these shadow goals, maybe this idea of where I might want to go. I'm so focused on the process of getting there, and being focused on the process of getting there allows me to stay open to the possibility that my mindset or the end goal might not be achievable or might have to change. If you're too focused on the goal, you can get caught up in the idea that that's an immovable object. There are deficits to being too process-oriented that I have to learn to deal with, and I have learned to deal with over the time, which is that sometimes you can feel like you're going nowhere, or you can convince yourself that you're going nowhere, even if you're doing just fine. What are you? Are you a goal sort of person?
No, I would say I thought I was a goal-oriented person early. Certainly early in my lifting career, it was much more about numbers and goals. But as I've matured, I've realized that I'm probably more like you are than I am a goal-oriented person. I do much better with vague ideas of where I want to be and a kind of rough guide in my head for where I'm going in order to get there. But then it is about doing it and building the process out that way. I find that certainly works much better for me. I am increasingly reliant on setting my own deadlines because I'm fucking terrible at doing anything like that. But I am very similar, I think, to you in a lot of respects.
Mm. Yeah.
It's taken me a while to realize that, I think.
Mm. Lydia's just thrown a comment in the live saying, but this is where it can be a coach's responsibility to try and ensure athletes have appropriate goals in a mental and physical capacity if the coaches are not just trainers. And I completely agree with that. Like, as a coach, it should be, and this is hard because it's not like we're ever taught to do this. You know, we have to figure this out, and it happens anecdotally. You have to be willing to have that conversation with your lifters and figure out what is important to them and guide them through the process of, okay, if this is your goal, is it achievable? If it's not achievable, be realistic about that. Tell your athlete, don't buy into a goal that you don't believe in. Then it's your job to ensure that they keep the focus on the process. So if that goal, for whatever reason, doesn't happen, if they get injured or if they can't make the competition or it just doesn't happen, that you can open their eyes to all the progress they've made through the process.
I completely agree. And I think you, as a coach, you can mature and learn the skill of being able to manipulate the way you talk about these things and the emphasis you place on them depending on where the person is in their lifting career, in terms of where their mindset sits, the way they think about things, stuff like that. I know I've had people that I coach who thrive on structure and planning and long-term thoughts. Sometimes, like a post-comp or something like that, I give them the freedom to go like, hey, here's 2 weeks to do whatever you want. Oh, that's like really hard to deal with. Like, yeah, but learning to deal with that can help bring you towards you know, the middle, which is probably the most productive area for a lot of people, and that like swing towards the middle, I think from both ends can be really beneficial. Like you said, it's about questioning your beliefs and the underlying motivations behind things that allow you to work out where you sit and then potentially challenge yours or the athletes you're coaching's biases or beliefs, which can in the long term lead to growth.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's certainly something that can take months, even years. You know, I can think of people that I know who are very control the plan, process orientated. Goal orientated. Here's the plan. Here's how we're going to do it all. Who then lack the flexibility mentally to deal with whatever pops up in life. And sometimes you can. That's where things like injuries, things like life events can serve as really useful learning tools once you can detach the emotional response from it in order to provide you the opportunity to do these things. And it's a skill being able to go against what your natural inclination is.
Mm.
And it's a skill that I think as a coach, you probably have to work on first before you can start to help others work on it, because without the awareness of where you sit and your own failings, shall we say, that becomes much harder to see it in other people.
Yeah. It's always interesting to, work with people who are very high level in whatever life role that they have, whether they're, an incredible parent of four children by themselves, or whether they're, very high up in the corporate world. And then they're a little bit helpless when it comes to the lifting world, and they struggle to draw from their life experience of whatever they may do outside of the gym and use that. I always find that really interesting. And it's always weird to be that guiding light when I'm like, I'm not the goal guy, but yeah, it's that relative experience in whatever field that you're working in. And I don't really know what I'm saying here. I guess all I'm saying is that, like, the whole idea of life experience, and think of your life, like, just sit here now and think of your life and think of all the unknowns and the unplans that happened to get you to this point. That's going to happen with your lifting as well. And if you are a planner and a goal setter, you need to be prepared for that. I mean, I come from like a corporate project planning background. Like, so a big part of my degree was learning project planning, because that's how you manage things when you work for government. And part of the project planning thing is like making this elaborate plan and planning out time using things like Gantt charts, and then building in risk management and building in contingency plans, like thinking of all the possible risks and the possible this could go wrong. And it's so funny because you can do that as much as you want. You can think of every contingency and every risk that might happen. Chances are the real risks that come up and the contingencies you need are things that you haven't even thought of, especially
like global pandemics.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how can you plan for something like that?
And I know some fucking intelligent gym owners who lean heavy on the goal setting planning thing, and that's who they are. And I guarantee you none of them were prepared for a potentially 6 month long shutdown that's been enforced by the government. Because I don't know anyone who ever thought that was a possibility. And I think that that's why I think the midpoint's the goal without being a goal. I think being able to be flexible enough to lean on both ends of that spectrum is what allows you to be not only successful as a person, but successful as an athlete.
Yeah, and it works both ways. Like, I made a joke to someone the other day about the fact that I don't plan anything, like, ever. And I completely just go with the flow. So like this completely disrupted state is just normality to me. But that's a bad thing, because like the disruption to that state, the constant need to have to plan and the forcing of me to like have to think in advance at times is how I've survived in business and how I've gotten to this point. And now that I'm in a zone where you can't plan anything, I'm kind of like festering in my own unplanned filth, if that makes sense. Like, I'm just like
in magic YouTube.
Yeah, I'm genuinely finding it hard to be as productive as I normally am because this pandemic is completely playing into my
Let's just see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, man. So it's quite odd.
I've found actually probably like a balance of both. I've found there are days where I'm just like, well, fuck this. I'm not getting anything done today. And that's okay. And then there are other days where I'm like, yeah, I've got all this time because I don't have to be anywhere and I don't have to do anything. I can be a bit more flexible in my life, which has been really quite nice. Mm-hmm. But I certainly feel you on the like, oh, well, just see what happens. What have I got to do today? Well, I probably should have done that yesterday, but oh well, let's see what happens. It's, yeah, I think I've been fortunate to find a life partner who is more skilled at the goal setting and planning area than I am, which makes us work kind of well as a team because one of us can worry heavily about things and the other one could just kind of see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, as generic as the advice is, you do need like a happy medium, a blend of both, a balance of both. You know, you can't, if there's a situation to highlight that you can't live on one of the extremes, you can't be hyper goal planning and goal setting and planning, and you can't be hyper relaxed like me. Like, you need some balance, and it's just weird that this complete flip to absolutely no possibility of goal setting or planning right now the effect that it has on either end of the spectrum. And I should reword that though, because there is no reason why you can't have goals and can't plan through this period. It's just you need to reframe what those might be and what they may might look like, and be very, very open to the idea that they're going to change and evolve as the situation we're in changes and evolves.
Yeah, I in thinking on it while you were talking there, I would say in my experience, powerlifting draws probably, maybe it's not more, but certainly it seems like the nature of something like powerlifting, where it seems to be very measurable and very objective. You know, the hard numbers, the hard yes, no of competition, things like that, they seem like they would lend themselves to the type of person who is goal orientated, planning and process and all of those sort of things. But I think the reality of powerlifting, as people who've been in it for long enough can attest to, is that it's not like that. It's not always one for one. You can go, you know, years doing things where it looks like you're making progress, and then actually the outcome is that you didn't make any progress. But then it's about the flexibility to be able to redefine what progress looks like, and the understanding that it's not linear. It's not one for one input to output. It's certainly closer than a lot of things in life, because there's a pretty strong correlation between the amount of effort and focus you put in and the result that you will get out of it. But it's not one for one, and that's where it can be a bit harder for those sort of people.
Man, that's such a good point. The idea that if your goal or if your measure of progress is sticking to a plan, you might completely lose sight of the fact that you're not making true progress.
Yeah.
Like, yep, I completed every number on this program. Here's my next program. Yep, completed every exercise, every number on that. Look at your progress for the last 2 months and you've gone backwards, and it's like, no, completed my program. I'm doing great. And if you're stuck in that mindset, it's going to take you a long time, like 3 or 4 years before you're like, damn it. You know, 4 years ago, I squatted 140 and now I'm squatting 145. Like,
yeah,
for 5 kilos in 4 years, that's not exactly very good progress. Yeah, I love that point. I've never thought of it like that.
Yeah, I think it's easy to get caught up in the weeds on both ends of the spectrum. You know, I think you can get caught up in being meticulous about every percentage that you know you're going to use. And then you can also be the sort of person that just turns up and does whatever they feel like. And you'll probably have more success with whichever of those blends best with your type of personality. I know that like my best powerlifting comp preps have been the ones where I kind of had a loose idea of what I was doing, what I was aiming for from a number standpoint, and I kind of knew all of the steps that I would need to hit roughly to get to about that. And I just kind of did that every week. And I thought like, okay, I kind of did that last week. This is where I am. And I just kind of worked it out. But I think there's power early in the piece in having structure to follow. I think you can learn a lot from both ends of that spectrum, being able to follow a plan rigidly But then also as you progress in experience, being able to take that plan and understand that it's more of a framework than it is a prescription, and that needs to be manipulated based on how it's going.
Yeah, I think that pretty well sums up the way that I kind of exist, because I don't want people to think that I have absolutely no plans and no structure and I just float through life like a leaf in the wind. Because I do have structure. I think I rely sometimes too heavily on principle, where I'm like, almost as long as I'm satisfying the principle, I'm making progress in whatever goal of life it might be. And sometimes that can bite you in the ass. So sometimes putting a little bit more thoughtful planning, especially in training, you know, if you're abiding by certain principles, but you're not building in structure, the problem with that is that it makes it harder to take a step back and look at that over what training should be, which is, you know, like you say, not a game of days and weeks, but of months, years, and decades. Yeah. So I definitely do that. I do step back and look at the principle as it applies overall. And if you're not a planner, you do need to have at least some degree of planning in your methodology. Otherwise, you can just find yourself running around in circles over and over again.
Yeah, but you might be hitting PRs every week because you're doing something different every week. But yeah, is that actually progress? Who knows?
Mm. Is it a PR that matters?
that's a good question. What PRs do really matter, though, Thomas?
The ones that make it to Instagram.
Not sure I'd draw the line there.
Well, the world hit 2 million COVID cases yesterday, so that's a worldwide PR.
Correct.
Probably not worth celebrating.
No, I suspect not.
Too soon.
Put a real dampener on things, didn't it? Jesus.
Yeah, I just don't have that much more to say. I feel like we've said enough.
Yeah, no, I feel like we've summed it up pretty well.
Goal setting and planning. Let's give the people... Basically,
we just fly by the seat of our pants and we don't know what we're doing and it's okay.
Let's give the people one more bonus minute to ask any questions to keep us talking a little bit longer.
A bonus minute.
A bonus minute. Yep, you've earned it.
We need some sort of timer on the screen.
You've earned it for
some tense music.
You've earned it for surviving 45 minutes of us talking mostly about magic, which once more is God's gift.
Yeah, look, I'm definitely on board with... more magic. Like, I'm happy to just sit here for like half an hour while you just show us magic tricks. Like, I'd be okay with that as an episode.
Well, Cody Brown says, thanks for your time. Thank you for listening, Cody. Yes, to reward you might notice that there's nothing in my hand. Or is there? Oh, dear. Still working on my sleight of hand.
Oh my god, if you weren't the least coordinated man in the world, that would probably be easier.
It's weird how I can be so coordinated at some things and so terribly coordinated at others.
I find it really interesting watching the people who just kind of naturally have a bit of coordination, and then people who've learnt coordination in a lifting standpoint, and you see them outside of moving straight up and down in a controlled line, and you realize that they're actually Gumby as fuck and just like can't walk straight. It's an interesting contrast.
All right. Well, people, thank you for joining us live once more.
Thank you. Maybe we'll promote the next one more than we did this one.
Maybe we will. If you have any subjects that you want to... Maybe we'll
set a goal and start a plan.
If you have any subjects you want
to... We probably won't.
Shut up. Stop talking over me. If you have any subjects that you want us to talk about, please let us know, because our brains trust, that is John, has ran out of ideas. So.
Yeah. Look, you know, I can only be so creative and hold up this end of the bargain for so long.
Yeah. We always figure it out. That's the main thing.
Correct. That's the thing. You just fly by the seat of your pants. Planning's overrated.
Amazing. Thank you so much, people. Join us next time.
Goodbye.
See ya.